is Amanda.
And this is Chris.
And this is Vocal Herspective.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Vocal Herspective. We are venturing outside of barbershop today. I know, brace yourselves. We spend a lot of time on barbershop in this show, but we are going back to my contemporary roots, and I am excited to bring on a engineer colleague, Jill Clark, who runs Jill Clark Productions. She has been running Live Sound for a long time, but she's also been involved in a cappella at large for a long time. But we'll let you talk a little bit about yourself, Jill, rather than me attempting to capture just how much you've been doing with the a cappella community and for how long. But welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So, like we tell everyone, let's just get started with, like, how did you find this little niche a cappella field?
Sure. I started in college. I went to the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, where I joined the all-female group, UNCG Sapphires. And that was sort of where I did my stint in college for 4 years, graduated, and then sort of got super into production and took a big pivot with the help of some mentors to dive fully into production. So my hobby quickly became my career after that.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah.
Like, isn't it? God, I mean, yeah. Like, when all of a sudden you can say, oh, wait, it's not just a hobby anymore. Yeah. I do this for what? It's fun and I work. This is great. Yeah.
Well, I was lucky. I got my degree in theater and I started working in theater immediately out of college. And then things, like, sort of petered out with that. And then I sort of found this opportunity to start doing this full time. I was doing theater full time and this part time. And then they sort of just swapped somewhere along the way. And I was like, oh, perfect. Great. That worked out well.
That works out great. I mean, and I'm old enough to remember back when you were in college watching you as an adult. And remember, you were a good performer. You were a beatboxer even.
Yes. Yeah.
What drew you to get in behind the scenes?
Sure. Talking, like, meaning like post-production stuff?
Mm-hmm. Post-production, yeah. and live sound. Sure. I know, you know, every time I try to encourage other women to get involved in live sound, the immediate is, oh, the equipment looks really heavy, or I don't know, that looks really complicated, or so.
I have a little premonition here that just knowing what beatboxers have to do with a microphone, they probably get pretty good at telling the audio engineer exactly what they would like to hear more of. And if you can speak their language, maybe that helps. But you can tell us more, Jill.
Yeah, well, I was lucky that I worked with, most of the time I was working with Nick Lyons and Mark Hines on stuff when we were in college. They were usually doing our sound and they did most of our album work. And so I got really, really close, especially with Nick. And he was sort of a really big mentor to me. And sort of, I just sent them an email at one point when I was about to graduate. And I was like, hey, I am kind of obsessed with this thing that you guys do. And I want to do it. And I don't know anything about it, but I'm a really hard worker and I'm a really fast learner. So if you see an opportunity for me to get involved in some way, hit me up, let me know, and I'm in. And I think it was just a lot of right place at the right time for me in that way. And I just dove right in and they sort of welcomed me with open arms and taught me a ton. And I'm so thankful for them and their investment in me. And
the rest of the community is too, because now look how much work you're doing.
100%. Yeah. And then live sound, I kind of faked it till I made it a little bit. I'm not going to lie about that. I feel like that's what a lot of people kind of have to do to get into something like this. So there's no shame in not being very good or very knowledgeable at something at first. And then, yeah, I just sort of, again, right place, right time. We had a guy who did live sound in North Carolina, and I don't remember exactly what their circumstances were, if he was leaving or if he was moving out of North Carolina or whatever, but he wasn't doing it anymore. And there was a pile of equipment sitting there and no one to run it. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot, right? Like, I'll try this. Cause I was such a nerd in college. I always came to all of our recording sessions. I was there the whole time just watching and learning. And whenever we had shows, I would email Nick and be like, hey, what time are you gonna get there? I'll get there early just to help you with stuff. And I was such a nerd about everything. So I had a little bit of experience of just like, this is an XLR, right? Yeah. Of knowing how to plug stuff in and, you know, just made it work eventually. I made a lot of mistakes early on in my career, of course, but then, you know, I got better and better and better and I learned more and more. I'm a big hands-on learner. If I wasn't doing it, I don't think I would have ever gotten better at it. So sorry for any of my first few clients who struggled with me through those mistakes, but I absolutely love it now. So
yeah, I mean, So, I mean, you've made a career out of this over, I mean, how many years now? Over 10, right?
I've been a full-time producer for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, the beloved COVID that we always talk about hit you right in the middle of that, didn't
Sure did. I
it?
actually opened my company, Jill Clark Productions, in January of 2020.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh
So that was
boy.
great. But listen, hey, I survived on iPhone videos alone and unemployment. Thanks, government, for helping us out, homies. But those iPhone videos were a lifesaver.
Yeah. I mean, thank goodness for all of the people that were out there just trying to mix, you
And people
know.
that wanted to keep making art, and that was probably the most inspiring thing when people would talk about, oh, well, there goes live music and they're going to find other things to do. And yeah, many of us did have to look into other avenues. Amanda got a whole new career out of it, went back to school, but there were still all those artists that were just like, please, help us continue to keep our art going. And so I'm so glad to see that everything, I mean, and it's getting back. If anything, I feel like it's starting to come back with a vengeance. So I really hope that this is a still going to just keep going up for you.
Yeah, I think the scene has changed a little bit just because of COVID. I think people aren't doing as much. They're not doing, talking about studio stuff. There's not a lot of 10 track albums anymore. There's a
Yeah.
lot of 3 to 5, maybe
EP,
eight
yeah.
song EPs, which I think is fine. I don't care. Whatever. It
I mean,
lets people
do
get
we as
stuff out more.
consumers, yeah, do we as consumers sit and listen to a 10-track album anymore, or are we just looking
Like,
for
no.
the best ones?
Unless it's Taylor Swift.
Spoken
And
like
that's
a
not.
true mom of a 12-year-old, Chris,
And
over
that is
there.
like a 25 track, 3 hour endeavor. When you tell your daughter, oh, we can listen to the whole Torture Reports department's album between Starbucks and school, she's like, lies. So, no, nobody's doing that. And honestly, unless you are at that level, I don't know many people, know many artists that I go and listen to 10 songs by them in a row,
Yeah, I think like actual artists, pop artists are not doing it either. There's not a lot of, aside from the Taylor Swifts in the world,
That
a
takes
lot
her
of
like
like,
3 years.
yeah, right. A lot of newer artists are trending towards like eight songs an album now too.
Right. I mean, and it's just more affordable too. And I mean, honestly, coming, from doing it for several years myself, like those 10 to 12 track albums are killer for the producer.
Oh my God, they're so hard. It's
And
tough to beat that
for
much
a
at one
produce,
time.
yeah, and for a producer to try to come up with a budget to do that for a group, for them to actually get the benefit of somebody doing it, and for the producer to actually get paid for their time and their work, it's dang near impossible to make more than like 8 cents an hour. If it's so it's it, I can see where that would be. And records are a thing now, y'all. Records are like a big deal, like literal vinyl records. I mean, like vinyls. And I'm seeing a resurgence of get the smaller albums out there, get them on a vinyl. I'd like to listen to it that way.
I'd be down
Manifest.
for vinyl
Vinyl
acapella.
acapella, I
That's
love
a
it.
vibe.
I'm one of, that's my manifest for this episode, Amanda. I was like, come on, where can I go buy, like, I don't know, New York Voices on vinyl? I'm sure it's out there, right?
Probably.
So, I mean, a lot of the guests we've talked to recently are mostly working with adults. I know a large portion of your client base are still college students. What is it like to go in and try to manage a project or a show when you're working with all the college students?
And all these tech geniuses now, because they all just know everything, right?
I think it's always fun. It can certainly be a challenge. I like to think I'm still young enough. It was super easy when I first started my career to sort of build, not like build like client relations, but build actual relationships with these people because I was close to their ages. And as I've gotten older, that's gotten a little bit harder and harder. But I do think, I like to think I create bonds with my clients. The language is sometimes fun. Sometimes I'll be like, what does that
How many
mean?
times do they say bet? And you're like, what? My son
I
says
didn't.
bet to me all the time now. I'm like, is
Yeah.
that good? Is
What?
that bad?
Yeah. It's good. Bet is good.
But I think that's good. Yeah.
No, we have to think about it. Ohio is
It's
bad.
like, yes. Oh, Ohio's. Oh, I'm not familiar with Ohio. Okay. All right. But no, it's good. I think I, especially because I work so much in Boston itself, I have good friendships with so many of my clients because I'm constantly, if I'm not working on a studio project with them, I'm doing their shows. There's tons of groups that I see minimum 2 times a year. 6 to 8 times a year if they're doing the competition circuit that I'm also running sound for, or they're guesting at each other's concerts, you know, like there will be, I'll walk in a room for to do a show, or a group will walk in and they'll see me sitting at the back of the room and they're like, oh my God, hey. And that's such a great feeling to know that like I have connected with these kids before and they also remember me, and we've made that sort of like solid root connection.
I do work
with a
with
lot of high school groups too, so there's also that factor of like every once in a while you do get to actually like work with an adult, and those clients are honestly sometimes the best because they know what they want and they're super communicative, and they also like don't have to go through a bunch of like university funding stuff to
Oh,
get
that's so
stuff paid
fun.
for.
That's a huge,
You know, Amanda, it's such
yeah.
a slog
That's a huge
sometimes. Oh my
change from
gosh.
10 years ago, wouldn't you
Yeah.
say? Like the existence of a cappella groups in high schools, that's not new, but this new idea of them using mics and making albums and producing, you know, really quality music, has I've seen that even in our area, has gone up a lot.
Yeah, 100%. I actually have a bunch of clients in the DMV area who I go to like every year, high school groups to record and work with there.
But yeah, talking about those colleges, man, there's definitely a college that we stopped working with because they required, I don't even remember the number of millions of dollars in insurance.
Insurance, yeah.
We were just like, no. Like we can't, the fees that you pay us will not cover the amount that you want us to buy in insurance.
Yeah,
So
that we
we're
have to
just
pay
skipping
for.
that school from now
Yeah.
on, Cornell.
That's unfortunate. That's so unfortunate
It
that they have
is.
it, because it only does a disservice to the groups.
It
Because
really
at the end of
does.
the day, like, no one is, there's no accidents. I mean, knock on wood, right?
Right.
And
And
there
the
are.
universities have insurance policies. They're just not willing to cover,
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah. Well,
know,
they don't want to
another.
pay for
Yeah.
anything
They
that
don't want to
happens
pay
to
for
them.
it
Yeah.
either. So, like,
Yeah.
come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, Boston pre-pandemic was a booming a cappella scene, and I'm sure things have changed a little bit. What are you seeing now in the Boston a cappella community? How is the adult community? How's the college community doing? I know.
I think that it's kind of wild to me how much talent there is in Boston. I think it's really interesting that a lot of, I don't know every school and how they all work, but I know a lot of the groups in Boston are just like, hey, are you a student in Boston or of student age in Boston? Come audition for our group.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a student at our school to be in our group, which I think is really, really interesting. And I think it allows for a lot of growth that other people don't get the opportunity to have, you know, like at my college, it was just us, right? Like
Right,
there also weren't
yeah.
really a lot of other colleges in the area. There were a few, but not a ton. Certainly, I don't think any other a cappella groups at other colleges. But so you get this networking that you don't usually get when you have, you know, a group at Northeastern who has a kid from Berkeley and a kid from Harvard and a kid from BU in it, and there's this interesting network that doesn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah, I've been seeing that more and more on social media. Like, as long as you're of student age, you can join any of these groups. And I wonder how that, I mean, are they self-funded? Is the university saying, sure, just invite other college kids in?
I can't speak at all for how these schools are, but I do remember in my college group, the rule was to be a student organization, 75% of the group had to be active students at the
Oh, so there's
university.
that
So I imagine this,
25%.
it's something like that. I don't know, but I imagine that it would be something similar to that.
And these groups have learned to take advantage now,
Yeah.
especially since, you know, I know the students coming out of Berkeley are always like in high demand. It's like, why did they get all the good kids? Oh, because it's a music school.
Yes. They're
And, you know,
also
and
people
there's
that.
plenty of Harvard, you know, plenty of a cappella roots at Harvard. And so while it may not be a predominantly arts-driven school, like, come
Well,
on, music and brains.
there's so many groups at all of these schools. I'm not going to know the exact right numbers, but I think there's like 7 to 9 at Northeastern. There's like 8 at Harvard. I don't even know how many are at BU, and they're all stupid good. Like they're
Wow.
all good. It's
That's
crazy. I'm
awesome.
like, I don't know where you guys find all these people. How are you all so good?
And I've wondered, like, I was like, you know, back when I was doing it, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, but like we didn't have YouTube. We didn't, you know, the music you listened to was either on the radio or you were lucky enough to have bought the
Yeah,
album.
I had to go to a Strainer Chaser concert down the road in order to hear it. Like, that's what I had to do.
But, and then also in terms of singing, it was like, okay, I'm comparing myself to the other three girls that can sing in tune in my chorus in high school. And it, you know, at now it's like they get free voice lessons on YouTube from whoever they want.
They
And
do.
I think we're
That's
seeing that.
real. That's real. There's a significant change in how, this sounds weird, but in how in tune people are. Like people just sing way more in tune now than they did 10 plus years ago.
Yeah, I don't hear the auto tune. And I always thought, did the auto tune just get better and it's hiding from me? No, or because then when I try to use auto tune, I'm like, no, it's not any better. No, so these people are better. Just better.
Yeah, they're just better.
And I mean, the high school programs are certainly getting better too. I mean, I know Jill and I are lucky enough to know a lot of the top high school a cappella, you know, teachers that go out and literally learn everything they possibly can about this art form and then dump it into their children. But yeah. I mean, I certainly didn't have that opportunity in high school. It was like, yeah, do we have 12 kids that can sing in tune?
I think what happened is people from, honestly, from like our generation went to college, joined a cappella groups, then graduated college and then became teachers. And they said, oh, I did this cool thing in college. I want to bring it here to my high school program. And then, I mean, that's why ICHSA, when it first started, was, I don't know, I'm making up numbers again, but like four regions with like maybe 10 groups each. And like, that was it. And now it's like, ICHSA is just as big, if not bigger, maybe than ICCA at this point. It's kind of crazy.
It is. It's wild. And then you're also involved in some, you know, award-winning albums. What have been some of your favorite project, you know, car
nominations?
Name drop.
Let's go.
Car nominations or not, what have been some of your favorite projects that you've been able to work on?
Favorite, like, ever? The list of things I have done is long, so I don't want to be like, oh, these are my favorite two people. But I will never forget the last album that my college group did. I have to give them a shout out. The Sapphires. It was my wife's last project with the group, and it did super duper well in the Caras. And being a part of an all-female group and then seeing that succeed is always, I think, extra impressive. It's my background, and so it's what I love. And in that same vein, I have created such a relationship with Pitch Please from Northeastern here, and I'm absolutely obsessed with them, and they're one of my favorite recurring go-to. We record like every year. They're releasing stuff constantly. They have a huge, I always call it a super doer, someone who just wants to get things done and is dedicated to it, and that's like their job in the group almost, is just like pushing to get the next thing done. And they always seem to have at least one super doer in their group. And so they're always pushing out the next thing. So they do amazing, amazing work. I think back in the day, I'm like reaching more into like my archives of my brain. I did a couple really great projects with the Yellow Jackets from University of Rochester or 8-Beat Measure at RIT. Those are a couple of groups that I still have relationships with. They were like pre-COVID projects, and then COVID happened and it was like completely lost touch. And now we're sort of like gaining those connections back, which is really, really interesting to see happen. I mean, I've done stuff all over the place, mostly East Coast, but yeah, I do a couple of high schools in the DMV area that I'll come down and record every year. They're great. I don't know if you guys have ever, you should interview Kirsten Brandler from Vox Pop if you haven't had her before.
Yep. And she's running another high school group with Rob Rede.
Yes, with Rob Rede, exactly.
we just did a show with them.
Oh,
with
great.
Their group.
I love them with Breakwater.
Yes.
They're great and they're great kids. But Kirsten is someone I met when she was at a different school. She's at St. Mary's with another group. And then she left that school, went to Breakwater. So it's another relationship that sort of transcended time and space.
Yeah, it's been nice to see two great minds like end up at the same school. And
yeah,
we got to see the result of that. And the group is amazing.
Yeah, so it was insane. Like, I kept sitting there thinking, man, in 2001, if little 18-year-old Chris could have seen that. Like, yeah, I mean, 100%. I saw plenty of a cappella, but nothing like that coming out of my high schools anywhere near me.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the live shows that you've done, too. What do you find to be, like, we were talking before we started hitting record, and Chris always has to say, don't forget to hit record. We don't see a lot of women in this field. What has your experience been like going out? I mean, you're busier than anybody else out there right now, anyone that I see. But what has your experience generally been like?
I think that it was, like I said earlier, kind of a lot of fake it till you make it until you start to really feel good about it. And I've certainly gotten to a point now, probably in the last 5 years or so, where I feel so confident in what I'm doing. And I feel like I'm bringing some of the best that can be brought. And I think it's a lot to do with preparation and knowledge and skill and comfort and just like knowing exactly what you're going to do before you go in there. I used to always, when I first started doing this, I would bring my wife as my assistant because she was still either in college at the time or was a very recent graduate of college. So she was working odd jobs. So I'd able to be like, hey, can you take the weekend off and come with me and drive around all these different places and help me with stuff? And so it'd always be these like two girls hopping out of like a huge Sprinter van or whatever the Ford Transit van, and then lugging around all this heavy stuff. I know you mentioned that earlier. Since my degree is in theater, my job was picking things up and putting it down and installing scenery and doing that. So the like physical labor aspect of it for me was like not really a hurdle I had to overcome.
And it probably isn't for most female
No, it's not. And
identifying people. I'd like
even
to put that
though
out there. Like, you can just
100%.
not, you can just take that assumption away, everyone out there in the world. Like,
Oh, it gives me
females can live
no
things too.
greater joy than to take my 60 to 80 pound speakers and just lift them over my head and put them on this. I'm like, just hold. You don't
My
need to
husband
touch
can give himself a hernia a lot easier than I can. Like, it happens. So, like, I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, we would always get looks like getting out of our van and starting to move some stuff, depending on where we were, you know. If we were at like an actual theater venue that like had staff, they'd like kind of give a double take, like, oh, those are the sound people. It's like, yeah, we're the sound people. Excuse me. Which way is the stage? Can you please tell me where I can plug this in? Thanks. But yeah, I think I'm so proud to be a woman in this space. I've always been coming from a female group as a female beatboxer. I think it's kind of like a part of my identity at this point, just being like a proud woman in an industry mainly dominated by men. I haven't seen a ton of, I've never really gotten, I say I like have gotten funny looks, but I've never felt, like weird about it. You know what I mean? I feel like we've gotten past that.
It's still male dominated. And
100%,
so,
yeah.
you know, it's, I highly encourage, you know, it's like, it's part of STEM to me, you know, this is engineering, this is music, this is all the things. And I still feel like in the world of STEM, girls are like, or females are like, well, I could be a scientist or a marine biologist. And I, you know, I want them to, I've seen a boom of engineers. And that's like the start of it all, you know, like
Yeah.
they, and just reminding females that, you know, your ears work too. And in some ways, if you want to get down to the science of it all, we can probably hear more tones. But it's not a, you know, I don't think there's, I try to think of a female dominated world teaching. Let's go there. Never once has a male, I taught for 13 years. Never once did a male walk into my classroom and I go, do you know how to use the chalkboard?
Sure.
Should I show you how to write on the chalkboard in a good, can I show you how to do that? Or do you know how to plug in your computer? Like, are you good with that? You know, I've never ever experienced that. And yet I have in the live production world, even when I was just like a singer, even if I was just coming in as an assistant, there was always this just kind of like underlying, like, oh, you're so good at this and you're a girl.
Yeah, I did get that a lot when I was performing as a beatboxer. It was like, oh my God, you're so good for a girl. And I'm like, I'm just good. Can
I'm
I
just
just be
good. Can we
good?
just, and there's
Yeah.
so many of those statements in our world right now that if we just took off gender,
Yeah. 100%.
the statement is still true. And I've tried to explain that to my own kids. I have a 12 and a 14-year-old, and I try to tell them, like, if you can leave something out of a sentence and the sentence is still true, do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't add extra things. That's when you start to fall into these traps of, well, now why did you say that? You know, when
Right.
you could just say what you mean without having to put the little
Yeah,
added,
100%.
yeah.
I get that a lot because I've had a lot of the similar experiences to you, Jill, like where people ask me, like, do you know what the buttons and knobs do? And
I do get that a lot. I get a lot of dads who will come and
Yeah. I'd
hover
be
and
like,
like
do
look.
you?
Oh, the hovers. Oh, the hovers.
The hover.
Oh.
They'll be like, oh, do you know how all those buttons work? And I'm like, I actually do.
I
I
actually
do.
know what they all do. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's why they pay me the good money.
I don't think they mean anything with that, but it is a little like, oh, come on, dad.
Like, would you ask a dude sitting here?
Yeah,
Like,
right.
would you? But no, the best comeback I have to give my husband credit for because he's my business partner, where we had a client, longtime client, and Charlie had always been their A1 and I was the A2. And then for, scheduling reasons, I became the A1 one year and That was where I got the, do you know what all the buttons and knobs do? And Charlie, my husband, got so annoyed by the question that he called them and he set it up very seriously. He was like, okay, I don't want you to be worried about Amanda. I want you to know I got her a very special set of headphones for her vagina. But she can hear just like boys.
She can hear so good.
Was it molded and everything, Amanda?
Yep, molded and everything.
Just send it off, you know, like
Oh,
in ears, you know.
in ears, yeah.
Well, I mean, you've taken a lot of time to now build your own business. And the business side of that is, just as taxing as the learning how to do the actual craft. So, what has it been like to own your own production company for the last 5 years?
It has been difficult and challenging in all of the ways I didn't want to do it. Because I never wanted to do this on my own by myself. I always had been, when I first started doing it, I was part of a larger organization, I was part of a company, and I loved doing that. I knew I could make more money doing it alone, but I loved being a part of a team. I loved just having to go to my computer or, drive to the show that day and just go and do the
Collaboration, I'm assuming,
thing.
ask
Collaboration was
questions.
great. I think we all pushed each other to be better for a long time. And I loved all of those things about it. And the only reason why I'm doing it this way is because it was either do it this way or stop doing it and pivot to something else
Yeah.
entirely. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. I spent way too much time getting good at this. So
Yeah.
I gotta keep doing this. So it's kind of shit or get off the pot, for lack of a better,
Yeah.
phrase. Double down and go for it and do it, or don't. And it's been hard. I hate sending the emails. I hate sending the invoices. I hate doing the paperwork. Is my least favorite part of the job. Of course, it's the least favorite part of the job. So I loved not having to worry about that, being handed a project and being like, here, you're gonna do this on this project, and being like, great, awesome. I don't have to worry about anything else. So I do miss having that freedom a little bit, but it is nice to work for yourself. That is pretty cool. Not having to answer to anyone but myself and my clients is a nice change. So there's pros and cons to it, of course.
Yeah.
The thought that was I wanted to know, does your wife get paid better now? Like, she a better paid assistant?
My wife has declined assisting
Oh, you
now.
worked her to the you ran her into the ground.
I ran her to the ground. No, she just got to a point where she got a real job and she was
Okay.
like, I don't really have time for this. She definitely does still help me if I can't find anybody else. There have been times where I've been like, hey, I can't find anybody. None of my regular A2s can do it. Can you come? And she'll help me out in a pinch, but she prefers to no longer participate.
She's retired. She's
She's
a retired A2.
retired.
Oh
But
man, that means you
how,
have to
I
pay her
mean,
double when she comes on. Oh gosh.
but how fortunate though that she is still willing to pitch in. I know
Oh my
it's
God, yeah, I love her. She's the
but
best.
and your marriage has been going strong for a long time now. So congratulations
Yes,
on that too,
yeah.
because it is not
Thank you.
easy to be a business owner and have any, dealings with your spouse.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, every once in a while she'll say like, oh, I really want to open my own business. And I'm like, I fully support you in that, but I don't know if it's the best financial decision for us both to be business owners. Your solid income is pretty reliable, and we really, really appreciate that. And the health insurance is
The health
undeniable.
insurance. Yes. Yep.
There's
Yep.
no joke there. So, do you still get opportunities to perform yourself, Jill? Or are
I
you pretty
do.
much just behind the mic?
No, I do perform. I'm
Or that
in
wouldn't be right. Not behind the mic. It'd be in front of the
behind the
mic.
board.
Behind the
Behind the
board.
board. There it
Yeah.
is.
I do. I'm in a group called Sound Off here in Boston, and it's a post-collegiate, semi-professional, whatever you want to call it. One of those groups where it's
So many
adults.
labels, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many
I
different
got eight of
labels.
those.
We're adults and we sing. So I perform with them. So we actually have a
And sing
concert coming
well.
up.
It's so nice to see that Sound Off is still alive and kicking.
Yes.
They're like 10, 15 years old now, too, right?
Yeah, I think, what year is it? I think 12 years old now at this point,
Yeah.
11 or 12. Yeah.
Wow. So, what kind of opportunities are there for adults to perform in Boston?
In Boston, I mean, there's a ton of groups here in Boston. I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but if you went to, like, if you're on Facebook, go to your Facebook and search the, like, Aka Boston group, and there's 1,000 groups all the time, constantly having
Yeah, that's where
auditions
all of
for
us, like
people.
middle-aged adults, hang out. It's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just say,
I
just
know,
so
me
the
too.
kids know, like, you can send me a message via Instagram. I'm gonna look at it on Facebook. That's how it's gonna work.
Well, if I am on Instagram, it's to watch old TikTok. So
Fair.
We're so old.
Oh
And
my
it sounds
gosh.
like you could just put up a flyer that says like adult age, not in college. Join us to sing. Like, it just sounds like that's the next community that'll be popping up in Boston with all these amazing groups out there.
So before we wrap things up, like, do you have any advice for anyone else that wants to dive in? I mean, what you have done for your career at the from the beginning can look like a very scary thing. So to any other mini Jill Clarks that are out there saying, I really love this and I want to do it, do you have any advice for them?
I think, I don't know. I mean, I guess my advice would have to be honestly just like believe in yourself, double down, work hard. I know that's so annoying to be like, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, but it's true. And when you're 22, you can do it. Like if I tried to do something like that now, I don't know if I would have the stamina to work that hard on teaching myself something and getting really good at it. But if you have a group, if you're in a group and you want to play with production, then buy a cheap microphone, buy an interface, and start recording yourselves. That's how a lot of us learned is doing our first project with our college group. And if you have that opportunity, do that. Reach out to as many people as you can. Find Honestly, like if you can find a sort of mentor, like do it. That worked out. The timing was really, really great for me. And there aren't a lot of companies like that anymore. It's a lot of single man operations in acapella these days. But if you have a connection with somebody who can invest a little bit of time in you, then like take them up on that as much as they're willing to give you.
Well, thank you, Nick Lyons, for bringing us Jill Clark.
Thank you, Nick, for sure. I love him.
So, Jill, before we get out of here, we must talk about your huge accomplishment. Will you share, please?
I was very recently extended an invitation to join the Grammys Recording Academy. It was like 2 weeks ago, I think, or a week ago, maybe at this point.
And what was the process like for that to get accepted?
So the application was kind of a little bit of a slog, I'm not gonna lie. So I had to get recommendations from two existing members of the Academy. And so I got those recommendations from two wonderful colleagues of mine. I'm gonna name drop, shout out them, Pablo Vega and Mel Danicky. And they're both wonderful people and they were happy to do it. And they sort of helped me through the process. And you have to obviously like put in your sort of resume of music production work. And with that, you have to provide credits. And in a cappella, none of our stuff is like really released in a traditional manner like that. So I sort of had to go through, I sort of went back the past, like, I don't know, 5 to 8 years and just pulled albums that I had worked on and started logging them as like official releases and tagging myself and all of the other engineers who worked on those projects to log those credits as real things.
We need an
So,
IMDb for a cappella music.
yeah, it
Like,
took a long time.
that's what it sounds like.
But it was really cool. And then that was I think it was due in March. And when I submitted, it was like, we'll email you in July. And so just sat around and waited. And I got the email just a week or so ago. And I was like, oh
So
my
what do you
God.
get to do? When do you get to start?
So you start right away. I basically can, A, I can attend the Grammys, which is really
That's
cool.
so cool.
I don't know how often I'll go because it's expensive because it's in LA, but that's really, really cool. But so I will vote every year on the Grammys. I'll vote. I believe it's in the main categories like best pop album, those sorts of things. And then also within your discipline. So my discipline is producer and engineer. So I'll vote within those categories as well. And then I am able to submit work. So if I work on anything that I'm like, oh, you know what? This is like really good. Maybe I'll submit this for not just the Grammys of a cappella, the Caras, but
Oh
like
my
the
gosh, like the
real
real Grammys.
Well, yeah, and I don't think
Grammys.
people, not as many people really, honestly, unless you're in the music industry or production industries at all, realize that there's hundreds of other awards that we don't see on television,
Yes.
that are given out and are just as meaningful to those artists and work people that work on those albums. It's incredible when you finally go looking up and you see just the list of Grammy winners for that year. So it's a super important work. And you know, most people are like, oh, I care about the big ones, but we need people that are building up and recognizing all of the artists that deserve it.
100%. And it's such validation, right? Like, I feel validated as a producer, engineer, musician, all of those words, just to be accepted into this thing, you know? Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not a fake. Like, sometimes you really feel real. Like a fraud, you know?
I know. I mean, the imposter syndrome is real. Like, Amanda, if you can do anything in your line of work, it's help us cure imposter syndrome. Like, this is like the worst. And so validation's everything, you know? I put my name in that who's who of like blah, blah, blah book back in high school. And I felt important. It doesn't matter if it works, you know, but this is huge because there's not that many people that get accepted each year, correct?
I mean, there are. There was, it's,
but it's
pretty
like
pool.
You said, it's hard that you have to.
You have to prove it, basically. You have to prove it. And there's a lot of people who are producers and engineers. So, like, you just got to do the work to prove it. I think they sent out something like 3,600 invitations this year. And they've been doing a lot of work in recent
years. But that's amazing that we have that many people that can meet the criteria.
They've been doing a lot of work to sort of increase the pool and increase the size. And they talk a lot about, I mean, I don't know anything about the actual organization and why they do what they do, or if they're actually doing it, but they talk a lot about how they extended, you know, 3,600 invitations. And a huge portion of that was women, was people of color, was LGBTQIA identifying people. So they are very diverse and equitable,
which
and inclusive.
I think will result in the awards then going to a more diverse population as well, and not just who the old white guys like.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing. When you feel like the only people voting are the old white guys, then it's hard to even want to submit your art because, again, it's vulnerable. It can either validate you or crush you. And so I think also just bringing the awareness out into the world that there are other people, you know, back behind this that really do care. And they are taking the time to listen to your art, and they really, you know, they want you to succeed too. So it's nice to know that there's people who have actually put in the work that are making the choices.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait to see you walk the red carpet. So you let us know when you actually decide to go to the ceremony.
Oh my God. I feel like, if I don't go, Kara's going to kill me. She's dying. So
you got to at least go once. You got to at least go once and pick your favorite year, you know, like just say.
I got to go.
It'll be worth it. Maybe you can get some gigs when you're out there.
Yeah. Bring all of my stuff with me.
Yeah. Just drive across the country. Actually, no, only gigs where they provide all the stuff. There you go. Just step in.
You don't have to take the sprinter van.
Yes.
Jill, it has been so nice to get to meet you. And I hope that we get to meet in person one day. I always love a good excuse to come to Boston. So if you need an A2, I can learn really fast. But I really hope that we hear more of you in the future, see more from you in the future. And I can just see a bunch of new mentors for you so that you'll be able to give back in that way. Cause I would love to learn from you. You're just a delightful human to sit and chat with.
Thanks.
Yeah. And for everyone else, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next Thursday.